Hello, this is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ in Omaha, Nebraska. This is today's Bible class. A short Bible study, about 13, 14 minutes. Not long, but it keeps us in God's Word every single day, 7 days a week. And since faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17, being in God's Word, even for this short period of time, but consistently so, that helps us. That's critical toward our being strong in our faith. In this particular study, we're talking about faith. We're saying that your faith depends on you. Well, let me encourage you. Share your faith. Share these studies with people you know in your life. You know people who need to grow in their faith. Share these studies with them through Facebook friends, text messages, and other technological means, and you may help them build strong faith. Your faith depends on you. How important is faith in your life? Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. We believe in God because of all the evidence of God. We believe in Jesus as our Savior, because God's Word teaches us that He is exactly that. And historically, we know He came to this earth. We know that He brought the gospel message of salvation to humanity. And we know that that message changed humanity largely and for ever since then, almost 2,000 years now. We have been looking at how faith is critical, foundational to our spiritual lives, to our relationship with God, to our relationship with Jesus as God's Son and our Lord and Savior. But we've really been emphasizing, do you want strong faith? Maybe someone listening to this study right now, kind of, at least in their mind, they're shaking their heads and saying, my faith is weak. I need stronger faith. I want to know how to grow in my faith. It's not going to happen magically. It's not going to somehow just swoosh upon you with the wind. It's not going to land upon you like a virus or a bacteria. It's not going to infect you against your will. Your faith depends on you. You have to make up your mind. And so we've been talking about that. Now, again, a basic premise in these studies every day, and we've been doing this for years, today's Bible class, we keep saying, we keep emphasizing, repeating, faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. And so you need to be a diligent student of God's Word. As we emphasized, the Apostle Paul wrote, instructed in 2 Peter 2 and verse 15, study, or be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling correctly, making the proper applications, the word of truth, God's word. And God's word is truth. John 17 and verse 17. So Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8 and verse 32. So we need to be students of God's Word so we can know that truth that can set us free from the guilt and condemnation of our sin, that can lead us into a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that we can be forgiven of our sins, so that we can be redeemed by the blood of Christ, so that we can have eternal life, be saved. Well, faith is critical. Faith is critical. As I said, I had a Christian man ask me one time who apparently was struggling somewhat with his faith. And so he said, how can I have strong faith like so-and-so and so-and-so? Two brothers in Christ, he knew, whom he respected as being men of faith. Well, what's the answer to that? You have to apply yourself, because your faith depends on you. If you're not studying God's Word, you need to get in God's Word, and you need to stay in God's Word. If you're not putting it into practice in obedience, then your faith is going to be weak. In fact, James says, faith without works is dead. He says that about three or four times in the second half of James chapter 2. So you've got to be, not just believe, but you've got to put your belief into action through obedience and dedication and commitment on a consistent basis. That is faithfulness. That is faithfulness. Now, I want us to read again Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and the first three verses, and then I want to give you something of an analysis of those verses from a rather rich imagery kind of perspective. So here the Hebrews writer wrote, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." As I said, faith is not a wild wish. It's not a blind leap in the dark. It is based upon substance and evidence. "For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." God is spirit, so we can't look upon God in physical form. We cannot listen to him speaking to us in an audible fashion. We cannot reach out and touch him with a sense of touch and feel. But we see his evidence everywhere. We hear him speaking to us through his word. And we can communicate with him through prayer and also through reading his word. So think about what is said here in Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3, and particularly verses 2 and 3. By faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. God's power is all-powerful, but as God is spirit, we're not talking about the powers of this world. We're talking about the divine powers of God. Let's think about what is said there in those three verses from this particular, rather illustrative kind of perspective. Faith is our crystal ball, assuring us of our salvation and eternal life in heaven. Faith is our telescope, enabling us to see what cannot be seen with the naked eye. And that is, through faith, we can see God, we can see Christ, we can see the Holy Spirit, we can see heaven itself. Faith is our looking glass into the past, showing us the origin of the universe, of this world, of physical life, and also our spiritual nature and our relationship with God. Faith is our looking glass. Now, we can also understand that faith is, when we think about it from all these perspectives, faith is vitally important to realize that that is central, foundational to our relationship with God and Christ, and to an eternal home in heaven, to our spiritual strength and sustenance, to our salvation. It all comes down to faith, faith in God, faith in Christ. So how is your faith? How are you doing with your faith? How is it? It's vitally important to realize, again, that your faith depends on you. The initial development and growth of your faith depends upon your studying and believing and correctly applying to your life the teachings of God's Word. We read Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17 as follows. "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." But that's a statement. So how do I call upon the name of the Lord? "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him, in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher or a teacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our faith develops within us as we come to understand the teachings of God's word and believe them, but then put them into practice through obedience and living by those teachings consistently. The initial development and growth of your faith depends upon your studying and believing and correctly applying to your life the teachings of God's word. The scriptures teach us that he who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 13 of Romans chapter 10. How do I call on the name of the Lord? When Ananias, a Christian man, sent by the Lord himself to teach a man named Saul of Tarsus, who had been an enemy of Christ, an enemy of the church, an enemy of Christianity, but had come to recognize his error and was ready to change his life by God's grace. Jesus sent Ananias to teach him the gospel. And so he came to a point where he asked Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. In that act of obedience, of being baptized into Christ, so that his sins could be washed away by the blood that Jesus shed on that cross for him and for all humanity, in that act of obedience and surrender, he would be calling on the name of the Lord. It's not some kind of advanced science that we can't understand, that we cannot figure out. It's so complicated. God's instructions to come to salvation are easy. They're simple. They're straightforward. I've got to believe in Jesus. John 8 and verse 24. Now that is preceded by believing in God. Matthew 11 and verse 6. But then when I've come to the point where I believe, now I've got to put things into action. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance means a change of mind, and inherently within that understanding is a change of life, a change of behavior. Luke 13 and verse 3, and again verse 5. And Jesus said, I need to confess my faith in him openly. Matthew 10 verses 32 and 33, but also here in this text in Romans chapter 10. That we need to understand that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10 and verse 9. So all of that depends on me. I need to understand what God's word says so that I can put it into practice in my life. And that is faith that becomes obedient faithfulness. Let's pray. Father, help me to have faith and help me to live before you faithfully according to the teachings of your word. Praise be to you, Father. Please forgive us and hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.